thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy of us getting together and doing this broadcast and bringing it to you over your radio stations or however you listen. And we're just thrilled about that. I want to start off by saying, hey, listen, we did go a little bit long yesterday and we apologize to the radio stations. You know, we're just a couple of preachers, and you know, you put us around scripture and you give us a microphone, and we're going to speak. And we got so much covering in this topic. And so Kevin was speaking, and I was saying things like amen and stuff, reading my commentary. So we want to let you know, Kevin's got to gloss over that a little bit as we go forward. Today's subject. So, well, first of all, let me say good morning to Kevin. And Kevin, tell us where you're at.
Good morning, Doug. I'm in Ocala, Florida.
So Ocala, folks, for those of you who want to know, the county around that, the city, represents the largest retirement area anywhere in the United States. And I was there at one time, and I actually went down to City Hall in the library, and there was all kinds of books on Ocala. And they actually have three stages of one housing area. The first stage had 2,000 units. Whoa. So that tells you everything you need to know there. Debbie and I had friends from old churches we visited. Now they're in heaven, but we visited while we were down there. I mean, just crazy. So many people live there. So today, you know, you're always looking for something from the scripture to pull out, to make a point. You know, those of us who suffer from tribulations that happen in trials and life, and that's all of us, everybody who's ever taken a breath on this earth. And we know we deal with these things with PTSD, so we look for words and things that will stick with us, things that, you know, our brains aren't quite wired the way they used to be as from the trauma. But words that came to my mind today were certain fulfillment. And we see that word fulfilled throughout the Bible. We see it right up in Genesis. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And we know it goes back to the first verse. Jacob was telling Laban, you know, I want to be fulfilled in the days of my life. And we see fulfillment. We keep going up into the New Testament. For verily, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass one jot, and talking is a problem for me today. I should warn you guys that. Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And that tells us a lot over in Matthew 5:18 and Matthew 8:17 that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken to Isaiah, the prophet, or Isaiah, as it says here, saying himself took on our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So using this term fulfilled or fulfillment and it is actually something that God promised a lot. We're going to fulfill this. You know, the prophet said these things, it's going to be fulfilled. This is going to happen. And Kevin, I always think of the soldier, you know, people would overpromise and underdeliver in my life. So when I was in the Army, you could really tell a lot about a character, you know, the character of someone and the character and intestinal fortitude and discipline they have. Because people would come in during, especially during the NCO evaluation time where you'd bring them in for the NCOER and you'd talk about what are your goals for this quarter? How can we get them? How's this going to happen? And some people were knuckleheads. They would promise these big, huge things, even though I would explain to them five times, make your goals something that we can quantify and something that we can say you blew away so you get a better evaluation. But these knuckleheads would promise things they couldn't do. I want you to know that God never does that. There's a certainty here, Kevin, of fulfillment.
Yes, God is a God that says, if you say it, I expect you to do it, because he says things and he always does it. 72 times in the New Testament, the word fulfill is used, or a form of fulfilled, in the New Testament alone, which of course is a lot of the fulfillments. The entire Bible is 109 times, but most of them are in the New Testament. And yeah, God is a God that when he says something, it comes to pass. So the New Testament is just covered with that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled. And he had said some of those things, you know, 1,000 years before this, sometimes, you know, a lot longer than that. So, Yeah, and I'm thankful that, you know, what he says he's going to do, and we talked yesterday briefly about signs as far as when we're headed in one direction. God did not lead you in that direction for naught. He's not wasting his time. And so when God, you know, speaks either through his word or by his spirit definitely leading according to his word, we can expect that something's going to be fulfilled. Now, the problem is sometimes we fall out and get discouraged before the fulfillment takes place. And Hebrews over and over says, you have need of patience, that after you have received the promise, you might receive the inheritance or the fulfillment. So that the whole idea of enduring till, you know, being persistent, not stopping knocking, keep looking, and being willing to say, you know what, on the way to point B, I got blasted. And like Joseph, I had these dreams of my brothers falling down and my parents falling down. And on the way to that, I'm no longer at home. I'm gone. God makes me forget all my father's house, and I've got a new life. And okay, I'm just serving God. And you know, but I'm believing God. I haven't said, well, God's not true just because point B has been trashed. But rather, point C was seen on the way, you know, while he still kept faith in God. Point C was the famine. Point C was from the, you know, the pit to the Potiphar's house, to the prison, to the palace. Point C was so much better, and he had to just, yeah, watch for it to be fulfilled. So, Doug, I just want to be the kind of person that when I feel like God's given me a word on something, and I'm not talking about a word from someone else that says, oh, I have a word for you. No, hang that stuff. If God's speaking to someone else, to you through someone else, then he will, he'll make it plain that it's already in your heart. And so, you know, there's verification, two or three witnesses. But no, man, I just want to say, God is, you know, if I read it in the book, it's going to happen. And as far as the application to my life, as I'm going through junk, I'm going to believe that what you've put in my heart, that you're going to work this thing out, that I am going to receive the reward of the inheritance, that I'm just going to have to be patient, keep looking, and sure enough, God's going to show up.
Yeah, no, that's so good, brother. And, you know, I think, too, as I'm listening to you talk, and I'm saying over and over again in my mind that, you know, we as a people, and this is the problem, this is where we look at this certain fulfillment, we as a people, somewhere we've got offline with our promises. Somewhere we become those people, Kevin, that I was just mentioning, you know, those soldiers and the soldiers of Christ. We become those people where promises are pretty easily made. We overpromise, we underdeliver. It seems like that's our nation today. So I want to say, and I'm going to let Kevin comment for a minute on this, but I want to say to you that there's something within a Christian character that changes when you get saved. And allow that goodness, you know, it's not the angels, it's the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes we'll hear politicians say, let the better angels, you know, tell us what to do. And no, let the Holy Spirit of God within your heart say, wait a minute. You know, should I be promising my spouse or my kids this? And I think, Kevin, we've got to make this caveat saying, hey, we're messed up people. You know, we've been through stuff. We've been through junk. A lot of it's our own doing, but we need to think about what we're promising.
Ooh, yeah, you mentioned it's by the Holy Spirit. I immediately thought of this scripture here. I'm looking it up, and if I could type, yeah. If I could spell. So anyway, there's someone in the life of Joseph that told Joseph, I will do this for you. What Joseph was in prison, and if I remember that, I'm trying to look it up, and for some reason it's not popping. Oh, I'm looking in the New Testament. No wonder Joseph's not in the New Testament, at least not this Joseph.
Yeah.
Anyway, still not coming up. Anyway,
that's okay.
So yeah, so what's going on? I know we're coming up against a break here pretty soon, but what it is the person, he was talking to someone else who was in prison, if I remember this correctly, and whoever he was talking to forgot and to tell the king that Joseph was a good guy and that Joseph helped.
Oh,
and
Butler Baker. Yeah, like chapter 37 of Genesis or chapter somewhere up in there.
The butler did it. What happened is they said, the guy said, I do remember my sins this day, because he's talking to someone else, talking to the king, and then the king's, you know, he says, oh, that's right, Joseph's in prison. Oh. And that's where we need to be, is always saying, you know what, by the Holy Spirit, I'm remembering I committed this. And because I committed, I've got to drop everything. I've got to make this happen. You know, the Bible says, give not sleep to thine eyes nor slumber to thine eyelids.
Right.
Make
a few seconds here, Kevin. Yeah, we're up against our heartbreak. And hey, folks, we sure do love you. And this is going to continue to happen because we're passionate. Hang with us.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
So, folks, we're right back with you. We're over in the book of Matthew, again, doing an exegetical verse-by-verse study. We find ourselves in the Olivet Discourse, and we know that the Lord is, he's briefing he's teaching. He's in the role of Lord, Rabbi, teacher. He's up there teaching on the Mount Olives, and it's the Olivet Discourse, and he's talking about end times and things of that nature. And we're about to enter in Matthew 24:32, the parable of the fig tree. Really a great parable that I think explains quite a bit. It says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So once you see the tree leaving or getting leaves on them, I'm looking out my window right now and I have beautiful. Some of you who follow me on Facebook or whatever saw that I put first day of spring. I took a picture of a beautiful flowering tree we have in our front yard. It flowers for about 2 weeks a year. Then it goes to all green leaves. I honestly, I don't even know what kind of tree it is. It's an old tree. It's been here for many, many years. But it always goes through the system where the flowers come, then the green leaves come. And you can bet when the green leaves come, the pollen goes away. Things get better. Life is good. And here's the Lord saying, well, when this fig tree comes, we know that the leaves come. And then we know as we come into the end of summer, we start seeing the fruit of the figs. And we get fig Newtons and fig pie and fig all kinds of stuff. And then in verse 33, so likewise ye, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. So he's comparing the things that happened to the fig tree to time, and he's telling them about. Then in verse 34, it says, verily I say unto you, this generation. If you look up the term this generation, I think he's talking about the temple that goes away, things of that nature. I think he's talking this generation he's looking at, and I think it pertains to us today. But I think clearly we're still looking for end times. We're still in the midst of them. They could happen at any moment. This generation shall pass till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So we have that my words will not pass away, that certain fulfillment. We have that absolute certain fulfillment. And that's so important, you know, as we go forward, as we look forward. And he uses that parable of that fig tree where the analogy to illustrate the principle of recognizing signs. And, you know, people who own fruit trees, that's what they do. Where Kevin's from in Pennsylvania and I'm from in Connecticut, there's tons of orchards and apple trees and pear trees. And boy, everybody watches those signs. Yeah, the pears are coming. They're coming early this year. They're right on time this year. I'm worried about the frost. And he talks too in here, and you know, in a little bit we'll be talking about the timing of the tribulation as we move through the verses. So we're going to skip over that until we see God mention that. But also the permanence of God's word, understanding that God's word shall not pass away. Heaven and earth are not going to pass away, and his words over in verse 35, Kevin, are not going to pass away. So we need to discern the signs. We have to be looking for them. We need to have a discernment. That's why it's important that we looked at this Olivet Discourse. That's why it's important as we study his life that we went to this, Kevin.
Yeah, discernment is really required here. Jesus said, now learn a parable.
Yeah.
So he's saying, pay attention, learn this. Kind of like when you're a military commander, you know, now learn this, guys. And, you know, and by the way, a lot of people take prophecy as something that you just, you know, you're not supposed to be able to understand. It's so out there. It's kind of just so mystical. And God reserves this, you know, for, it's just like something to tickle your fancy. But Jesus said, concerning Daniel, Jesus said, let him that readeth understand. So we're supposed to understand this. And Paul said, I would not have you be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. And then he went on to explain it. And people are like, well, I don't think we can understand. No, don't be ignorant. So as we look at this, the fig tree thing, I thought it was interesting that he's speaking on the Mount of Olives. And someone else said this, that on the Mount of Olives, a lot of fruit trees,
yeah,
there were olive trees, but they said, one person at least said, a commentary, that there's also fig trees there. And of course, you can go to the Mount of Olives today, and there's a lot of olive trees, very old. Some people say that some of the trees there were the ones in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is by, you know, part of the Mount of Olives, and that they were there when Jesus was in the garden. So pretty old stuff going on, but Jesus is saying, pay attention to this. Learn that when the fig tree's branch is tender, which would be the little slip that comes out, that little tiny thin twig of a thing, and then puts forth its leaves. You know how they come out? They're kind of curled up from a bud, and then they spring out and they spread. They just go after it. When that happens, you know that summer is nigh. So there's, you know, Jesus talks about fig trees before. If you remember, one time he came, found leaves, but no figs. So the word is that fig trees bear fruit before leaves, but he doesn't really talk about the fruit here. He's talking about the fact that you can tell seasons based on the old fig tree. And so as we look at the parable, we're told that this is referring to the fulfillment of all things. Like people were like, well, what about the end of the world? Jesus said, learn this. Just like you see the shoot and then the slip of twig and then the leaves, and then that means summer is nigh. Watch. Now, the fig tree biblically refers to Israel. So, you know, not to try to interpret this whole thing, but the whole shooting match is pointing to the fact that we see in Israel today a lot of activity. Keep your eyes on it, because that's telling us that it's close to Israel's Jacob's trouble. They're soon going to be in full bloom, spiritual nation of Israel, 7 years after the catching away of the church. I believe so. We've got to, we're looking at the signs. We're looking at Israel right now in the news and the big time stuff that's going down, very prophetic, biblical proportions. Everybody knows that. So I just want to point out that Jesus is saying, understand it. Keep your eye on this. This means God's plan's coming to pass and it's going to end up good.
Yeah, and it's great that I love that you pointed out fig trees being there. Figs are kosher. You know, unless you mess them up with something that it's not kosher. I mean, they make jellies out of them, and we know about cookies. Fig Newton cookies. We know about fig cake, fig pie. I used to have fig pie all the time at church down in Georgia. We actually had a fig tree on our property that when we lived on the Army base at Fort Benning, Georgia. And so, but figs are a kosher, wonderful thing, and he uses that analogy, I think, you know, I want you to know the signs, but you guys know what figs are all about because we eat the snot out of them is basically what's coming down here. You know, the olives, we make olive oil out of them and we eat them and they're a big deal. But these figs, you know, everybody's looking forward to the fresh figs in the fall. Mm-hmm. So it kind of gives people, I think theologians look at this and say, maybe this is a sign that the leaves are on the fig trees at this particular time. They're all looking forward to when they have the fig festivals, you know, or whatever the case may be. So I think that's a pretty cool thing. But I agree with Kevin. Recognizing signs in your life, you know, putting this into a practical perspective. You know, we need to be looking around. Our heads need to be on a swivel. You know, we need to be discerning the signs of the times. And certainly Kevin started yesterday when we were talking about signs and mentioning, hey, all you got to do is look around at the earthquakes. All you got to do is look around at the wars and the rumors of wars. All you got to do is look around at agendas. All you got to do is look around at what's happening. You know, the president's wife and the vice president of the United States went to abortion clinics and handed out heroes Award, the American Hero Award, and passed them out to doctors and employees at two Planned Parenthood abortion facilities. And then it lauded and shook women's hands who had abortions, telling them how great they were. Folks, I know this is the end of the day. It's hard to leave with that, but watch the signs. They're pointing to something. And be that person when you make a promise. Keep your promise. Keep your promise. We're different now. Well, we sure do love you, folks. We're looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.